Forward to seeing you in May. Is Ryan up to bat next, ready for the snowmobile season recap?
Was.
This is where we decide Christmas bonuses, Ryan.
You still on?
Yeah, he's on.
Well, if he's on, then we can. You got him?
No, let's go to the.
Yeah, we'll go to
number 18.
We'll go to 18 Spring Creek. Al and Scott, you guys are up to that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks and Recreation Division. Just wanted to give you a quick update on the Spring Creek golf course development and a couple of the meetings that we've had here over the last 6 months or so. As many of you know, there's Ryan. Right. You hang on a little bit, Ryan. I hopefully won't be too long. As many of you know, there was a transaction back in 2015 that allowed the foundation to purchase the Spring Creek Golf Course down by Harris. And so we're about halfway through that purchase agreement, and in January 1st of 2025, the department will take ownership of that golf course. So as part of that, assuming the ownership, we wanted to start to get ahead of this and met with some of the homeowners groups down there, some of the homeowners associations, and just started to have some conversations about what we think this thing should look like, what they think this thing should look like. And anyway, we're giving ourselves a little bit of lead time here, and we always think that that's a good idea. We've learned our lesson from surprising people over the years. So back in October, we brought in a couple of homeowners associations that were involved in the actual transaction, and actually have some covenants as part of that agreement whereby we can't develop, it's written right in there, we can't develop any camping until 2035. There's some setbacks of 150 feet for some private property, some of those kinds of things. Had that initial conversation with those folks in late October. In response to that conversation, and at that meeting, we laid out a plan of what we thought might be a good conversation starter as far as some camping opportunities, some more natural areas, some trails, dog parks, archery parks, you know, with typical park setting as we see things. As a result of that conversation, we got a letter from those two individual homeowners associations and signed on by some other homeowners associations as well as their members that they weren't real enthusiastic about an overnight camping opportunity at the Spring Creek Golf Course. So we kind of got our, got our plans together, got our group gathered up, and then we went back down there January 24th, and we brought all the homeowners associations together, brought their presidents and other leaders within those organizations, and sat down and had a conversation. And it was myself, Jeff Van Meegeren, Al Nedved, and some other staff were there. Just to listen to the homeowners associations about what their thoughts were, I guess my main point was to tell them that we don't have a specific plan laid out. I mean, this is 14 years down the road. We're just throwing out some ideas here, but again, those ideas do include camping. I would say that we were less than well received by the homeowners associations. The way they feel that this transaction happened was that the golf course, while it may not be a golf course into the future in 2035 or even after 2025, that it was their understanding through those negotiations that this was only going to be a natural area, something very similar to what Good Earth is, where maybe without the visitor center, but just trails and natural areas and those kinds of things. But it certainly was not their opinion that any overnight camping should be involved with whatever we do at Spring Creek Golf Course. We had a time-spirited conversation. I think that, you know, I don't think that there was a lot of question about whether or not we could build a campground. I think there was more question about should we build a campground in the middle of these houses and so on, and, you know, what's it going to do to their property values, you know, some of those kinds of questions. And those are valid. You know, I think we need to answer them. In the end, you know, we visited with them for a couple hours, and what I told the homeowners associations that I would do is I would have staff go back and let's look at a couple of different things. You know, what does this look like with camping? What's it look like, you know, and we have a version of that. What's it look like with some reduced camping or maybe some a different layout? You know, let's find another version that doesn't include camping. And then, you know, just like we see a lot of some of like our AIS and some of those EIS and some of those other things, one of those alternatives is to not do anything, right? It's going to be a golf course for the rest of eternity. So that's what we've promised the Homeowners Association that we're going to do is look at some more options so that we aren't focused on just what we put on that piece of paper the first time, and we can go back and continue to have some conversations with them. Again, this isn't something that needs to get done in the next few months. It isn't something that even needs to get done in the next year. But we want to continue to have that conversation because they're very passionate about it. We purchased that land, you know, through the foundation with purpose. That is to support the goals of the game fish and parks and specifically the parks division. And so we've got some ideas about what we would like it to be, but you know, in the end, if the conversation, you know, if we can't line up all of those things, then maybe we do have to look in a different direction. But anyway, I just wanted to get you up to speed if we start to hear some things about Spring Creek, golf course this time, not Spring Creek Resort. Just wanted to keep you updated that we are continuing to have those conversations. We plan to roll this out to the public at some point in time. You know, we're dealing with homeowners associations, and, you know, I think that's a great place for us to start. Because they do live right there, but at some point in time we're going to roll this out to the rest of you know South Dakota and those people in Sioux Falls that are you know live in that area and like to recreate there and get their ideas about what this needs to be. But anyway, yeah, we started with this idea of camping, not well received. We're going to take another look at some things, some different options, but we're going to continue that conversation. So that's basically my update, and I would certainly stand by for any questions you might ask.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
My memory's good, but sometimes really short. So could you remind me of what was the reason the Spring Creek Golf Course was for sale and why the Homeowners Association didn't purchase it as opposed to us?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Sharp, you know, while I wasn't involved in those conversation. I think that there was, I don't want to say that, I think there were some financial considerations that were in play there. I think there was an opportunity to continue to operate as a golf course for a while, but at the same time, ensure that this thing turned into something else other than you know, the next housing development or whatever that might be. And we were an obvious next step for that. If it wasn't going to be a golf course, and again, if that was because golf at the time was not seeing the amount of play and the revenues weren't coming in or whatever those issues might have been, we definitely got to be a player at some point in time in that 2014 kind of time frame. And Jeff Scherslick and Doug Holfer and those folks stepped in and were able to purchase it at a couple million. Now, whether or not the Homeowners Association were even in that conversation as part of the purchase, I don't know that.
So when we purchased it, we had the conditions in there that we wouldn't develop it essentially for a period of time. Okay, so what caused these meetings to happen? Is that because we rolled out some ideas of what we had hoped to do with that area?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Sharp, we wanted to get out in front of it. So we were the impetus toward the conversation. as a starting point, again, we wanted to bring something to the table that says, you know, these are some of the kinds of things that we can do. And, you know, and I would tell you, it's kind of modeled off of what Palisades looks like. I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities there with what that new state park looks like. And I think we brought over some of those attributes to what we're talking about. So it was just a conversation starter, but it definitely included camping. And I think that the homeowners are very adamant that they do not want to see any overnight activity there. We had some conversations about why that covenant is even in there. You know, why did we push it out to 2035 as no campground development? So obviously it was part of that conversation. I think there's varying memories of how much that conversation was brought to the forefront. You know, whether or not the department was adamant that it needed to be camping versus it was kind of a, you know, just a kind of side talk in that. So, but I think I believe that that we've always considered it the option that we were going to have camping at that location.
Absolutely. So one final question, Mr. Chair. Was the Spring Creek Golf Course a separate entity than the housing development?
Yeah, but I think the reason that they are connected in some fashion was there was some common area that I believe there was some sort of dual ownership, or I may not have my facts straight on that, but the two housing associations were connected to the golf course in some manner, but there's definitely a golf board and there's definitely two homeowners associations. But because of that common area ownership, the two homeowners associations had a little more say in what went on than the rest of the homeowners.
So did they have to sign off on this, on the sale of the golf course?
They signed off on the, yeah, they agreed to it, and they, as part of that agreement, there were some covenants put in place to protect those homeowners associations. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Scott, what's it look like now? What's going on there now?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Locken, it's golf course, and it will continue to be a golf course for at least three more years. And I visited with those folks. You know, we don't have designs on going in there immediately. So I would imagine that we would look to some folks and maybe lease that as a golf course until we get a little closer to that 2035 date. So that could be 5 to 10 additional years before they would continue to operate as a golf course after 2025. So maybe a total of 14 years potentially. So
we bought that with funds that kind of dictated that we would be using it for the good of the people.
Right. That money was raised mostly private donations. I think 3/4 of it roughly came from private donations. About 25% came from some Forest Legacy funds and some other places. But yeah, the money was raised for that to be Game, Fish, and Parks property. And I think the vision here is, what does that mean? Should it be more good earth and natural areas versus a developed campground? And, you know, things are going to change. You know, you look 10 years down the road, the south end of Sioux Falls, I think we've got some homework to do here. What's this going to look like? Will there be more houses? Will there be traffic changes? What does Sioux Falls master plan dictate this area is going to be? I think we've got some consideration. And, you know, again, this is just a starting point. It's well out ahead of the time that the land is going to transfer, well out ahead of the time that we would develop anything. And I think that's we're in a good place for that, to have these conversations. I'd much rather have them now than we put this gigantic plan together and here we come with the bulldozers and then have to have those conversations. Nothing else. I'll turn it over to Ryan.
Mr. Chair, question to the donors themselves. They must have had some kind of proposal to get them to invest like this so generously. Any idea what they were anticipating and what they're kind of indicated that this would become?
They're, largest of the donations came from the Elman family, Elman Foundation, and it wasn't specific for something. It was specific for an addition or support of Good Earth and an addition to Good Earth. But I don't know that I could say that they threw down $1 million and said there's going to be a campground here. It was definitely for the purchase of the land. But as far as what the department needed to do with that, I don't know that there was any parameters around that donation.
Any other questions? We'll go back up.